Daf is Daf Pei Ches. So we got to, I guess, the word Gufa, somewhere around 8 lines down or so. So Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Shmuel Hanotel Kli Min Ha'uman Levakro V'nenas B'yado Chayef. So we saw yesterday that Shmuel had this din, if a person takes a Kli, he takes some merchandise from the worker, from the store, and he wanting to analyze it, check it out, see if he wants to buy it, and then if something happens to it and it breaks, the lach is that he's Chayef. He's Chayef to pay for the damages. So what's the reason for this? So the Gemara first says that the qualification is hani mile dehu dekitze demer. It's only true when there's a price tag on it, when there's a set amount. And Rashbam just gives some examples here. If you go two wide lines down in the Rashbam, he says hani mile dekitze demer shadam of ktutin, where there's a set price. Kigon rechaim shal pilpulin v'shar kelim katan. Small objects have a set price. It doesn't really fluctuate so much. Shadarchan liolam lases bipasha pasha. Everyone has a set market value for every hand grinder of some sort. So what's the reason for this? Why is the guy responsible? Because of the price tag. So Rashbam quotes a Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamin Aleph Moki Lala Hadishmo Betara Tcharifa. It's an object that is charif that people are interested in buying. V'davar shalokin koftin lav. People are jumping to buy such an item. And v'de'ein hana lamochar b'lekichasel shelzeh. When you're trying to sell a product, so if you're very desperate to sell something, so then you want every person to walk in to look at the object. So if you know it's a object that will be easily bought, so what hana do I get by you looking and picking up the object? It doesn't do anything for me. I know if you don't buy it, someone else is going to buy it. Dehar be yimatze koftin. There's many other people jumping to buy such an object. So I'd rather not touch my merchandise. If you want to buy it, buy it. If you don't want to buy it, don't touch it. Umishum dehanasa shelokeach. Since the only reason, only one getting hana is the one who picks up the item to look at it, the buyer. He's now borrowing it. I'm not interested in him using this item, analyzing it. It's only because he's getting some hana by looking at it. He now becomes a shol. I mean, no, a shol is chayiv be'ontzin. That's Rashbam's understanding of this case here. Then Rashbam goes on to give another shot. There might be some level of kinyan here as well. The sale might be considered final once he picks up the object. But just understand the first pshat here in the Rashbam, that there's a hana to the lokach, he becomes therefore a shoel, and a shoel is chay b'onsin if there's a set price. Now if there's no set price, so by me picking up, I need to know what I'm willing to pay for it. If the guy's willing to negotiate with me, I need to look what I'm buying, what I'm negotiating about, so therefore it wouldn't be final if there is no set price. And whereas a ma'isa here, that hu gavra da'al lebeit havcha. A guy walked into a butcher, and agve atame de biser, he picked up a thigh to buy. He wanted to look how fat it was, and behadi de agve, when he started to lift it up, also parsha mirma minei, a horseman came by and grabbed the piece of meat from his hand. So now who's responsible? I was just looking. I happened to be the butcher picking up the meat. So who's responsible to pay? Is it the butcher? It's his own meat. He's doesn't get paid back. Or since I picked up the eye object, I'm now a shoel, and I need to pay a few ba'onsin. So also lakame de Rav Yemar, they went to Rav Yemar to paskin the shaila, and chayva l'shlumei damer, he required the customer who walked into the store holding the meat, he had to pay the full amount of that thigh. V'harni mile hu deketzi damer, it's only true if there's a price tag on the thigh, so he's considered a shoel, and a shoel is chayv ba'onsin. Another ma'isa hu gavra de aisi kari lepum nahara. A guy brought a bunch of kari, a bunch of gourds, to the area of Pumnara to sell it. Also kuliyama shakil kra kra, and everyone came in and took their own gourd. A mob of people came in, and now he didn't know who took and who owes him money. So Amar le, so what he said was, harei hein mukdashim l'shamayim. He said, no one paid for it, so it's still mine. I've still got ownership of it. So he said, everything's hektish. So as l'kamidir of Akana, all these people living in Pumnara who had taken the gourds, who didn't pay for it, so they were makpid on hektish, they were makpid on gzela though. So they said, wait a second, went to Rav Kana, he has no right to be makdishit, it's still davar cholin, because why, what's the reason? So they said, Amar Luhu, so Rav Kana paskin, that it's not hektish. Because ein adam makdish davar shein shalom. A person is not allowed to makdish something that isn't his, and since it was no longer in his reshus, the mocher, it was already taken by all the people of Pumnara, so he had no possession of it to be make it makdish anymore. And Pumnara had the right to eat it with respect to the Isser of Hektish. There's no Isser Hektish. It was still Chulin, but it still was Gzela because they never paid for it. So he says that he did not have the right to be makdish. So the Gemara says, Hani Mili, this is only true. Dekaita damet. It's only true when there's a set price on it that he does not have the right to be makdish it. Aval locate the mem bishus marayu kaime vishapri aktish. But if there are no price tags on the gourds, so then it's still considered under the ownership of the mocher, even though it's not physically there, it's still considered his under his title, and therefore he has the ability to makdish it in this case. So what's the case here? So Rashbam explains here. Rashbam said, why is there a difference of price tag? Does that give me the ability or not, or the inability to be makdish? What's the difference? So says the Rashbam, if you look at Rashbam around 8, 9 wide lines down towards the end of the line, it says, Bershusa de Marayu Kaima, the Yachol Lahakadishan, you're able to be makdishit, the Lo Dame Legazlan. It's different than a case of a Gazlan. Why? The Amrina, the Gemara tells Baba Kama and many other places, Shneim Einer Yachol Lahakdish. If I steal an object from you, me as the Gazlan, I can't makdishit because I don't own it. And you as the owner can't be makdishit because it's not in your Rishus. So here as well, how could the Mocher be makdishit if it's not in his Rishus? If the Gazlan can't either. Or the Nigzal either can't. So he says, Lefi she'ena shalov is eshali fishein b'rishuso. The Gazlan can't be makdishit because it's not shalov, it's not his. And the Nigzal can't be makdishit because it's not b'rishuso, it's out of his possession. So why, by that case, is a davar pashut, neither the Gazlan nor the Nigzal can be makdishit? But in our case, we're saying if there is no set price, then we're saying the Mocher may be makdishit. Why? He says, the ha'chalav adaita lemigzal shaklinu. These people of Pumnara didn't take it with the intent of stealing the gourd, el leknosan. They wanted to pay for it. They wanted to buy it. V'cheven de lokaita de mayu, since there wasn't a set price tag, lo samcha de tayu, they weren't somech when they took the gourds away. They knew there wasn't a set price. They were planning on actually paying the guy, but it became such a mob, it became so messy, they said, wait a second, the guy's not going to remember me, I'm going to walk home. But initially when they took the gourd, they expected to pay for it. Now they didn't know what the price was, so it was a negotiation that was expected. So since there was some negotiation, even the lokeach didn't have full intent of acquiring it, and therefore, why? Because Shema Yirta Lamachon Biyosa, maybe he wants to sell for more than I'm interested in paying. But Daitin Lachasir, then I'm planning on returning it. For that reason, Bishus de Mayu Kaim was still in the possession of the Mocher, and the Mocher has a right to still be Makdishit. Now, this is a big chiddush of the Rashbam, because typically when we say that the Nigzel can't be Makdishit because Lefina Shena Bishuso, it means physically it's not as Bishus anymore. In which case, there should be no difference here as well. I'm not sure if there's another Pshat here, but the way the Rashbam is understanding Bishuso means, it's not under his title, not referring to in his possession. Okay, and that again, that's the reason why a mocher is allowed to be makdishit if there's no set price. Mar goes on now to say, Tana Rav Barna quotes a braisa. Halokeach yerek min hashuk, a guy buys vegetables from the market. Ubir veniach veafilu kol hayom kulo. He's now busy sifting through the different vegetables to find a good pepper, a good tomato to buy. And Rashbam adds in, below gamar liknos, he doesn't have intent, he doesn't finalize the sale just yet. So he's busy going through the different vegetables there. So the halach is lo kana v'lo nishchai b'maiser. So long as he's searching through and sifting through the different vegetables, the acquisition isn't final, and because he hasn't found the right vegetable yet, and neither is he chai b'maiser yet, because only the owner is chai b'maiser. But if he's gamar b'libo, liknos, if he already decides in his mind he's going to buy this particular vegetable, so then kana v'nishchai b'maiser. Now he acquires it, the sale is final, even as so long as he's gamar b'libo, and also he's now chayiv to take ma'aser. He needs to take ma'aser because now he owns it. So the Gemara says, la'chazira yevsha, he can't return back the food because shekvar nischayiv b'ma'aser. So because let's say I bought a bunch of vegetables, I gamar b'libo to buy a bunch of tomatoes, so now I can't return it because now once I own it, I need to take ma'aser from it. Because the klal is, look at Rashbam, la'chazira yevsha, I can't return it as is, I can't go back on the deal, below afrashas ma'aser without separating ma'aser first. Shekvar nischai b'ma'aser, because the moment I owned it, I'm now chai b'ma'aser. V'ein chover, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to be motzi matachas yado davar sheino mitzukan. If I own something, I can't, any fruit that chai b'ma'aser, I cannot give it to you without having to take ma'aser first. So I first need to take ma'aser before returning to you as the seller. Now, furthermore, ula also, maybe what I could do is, maybe I could take ma'aser, but and then return it. I can't because la'asro yefshar shekvar mifach b'pchisam medamim. I can't take ma'aser and then return all the fruits to you because now the fruit are less valuable to you. Because some of that fruit that I'm returning back to you needs to go to the levy, so it's going to be less of a demand and less value. Now I'm returning back to you less than what you had initially given me, and that's not allowed either. that's going to be unfair. So the Gemara says, "Ha'ketzer, what can I do? I'm gamar belibo to buy the fruits, and I want to return it. What am I allowed to do? The following etza. Ma'aser, if I separate ma'aser, so I have, let's say, 10 grapes, I separate one grape, and now, v'nosin lo, demei ma'aser, now I pay you the value of a full grape, a regular chulin grape, so that would be permitted. That's the case where I'm allowed to go back on a deal that I agreed upon after wanting to buy these fruits or vegetables. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Atu mishum de gamar belibo liknos kana v'nischai b'ma'aser. The acquisition is final. Once I'm gomer belibo, once I already convinced myself to buy something, it's final. I walk into the store, I say, you know, I want to buy those fruit. I don't pay the money, I don't say a thing to the moker, and now I'm obligated to buy the fruit because I thought in my head I wanted to. Where do you find such a din? You need to pay money, you need meshicha, you need mouse, you need something, not gomer belibo. So Gemara says, Amar of Hoshaya, Hacha bi yirei shemai maskin, and we're dealing with the yirei shemai. So what? Could go in Rav Safra, the Kayim Benafshe, Vidover Emes Bilvavo. But Papa, Rav Safra, he fulfills himself, the Pasuk Tehillim, that he never let no Sheker to enter his lave. Once he convinced himself, the Emes Bilave, even though he never articulated it, that's considered final. That's a whole nother level of a Yirei Shemayim. What's the case of Rav Safra? So there's a famous story here that Rashbam refers to. Look at Rashbam, Dibra Maschal Rav Safra. One time, Rav Safra have a kari kriyash shema. Once he was reading Shema, Vamar, and he said, "Amar lehahu gavra." A certain person said to him, "Hovli iskech bekach. I want to buy your merchandise for a certain amount of money. Bekach mals, and here's the money. I'm ready to give it to you." V'savar, and he didn't say anything back. So V'savar, the interested buyer, Savar dimishum miyadamim hava. He thought maybe it was too small. He wanted more money for it. So Rav Safra ignored him. So Shasak v'halalo damim Reuben. They said, "No, I'll give you twice the amount." Let's say. After Rav Safra finished davening, he didn't want to take the higher amount. He wanted to take the initial amount that was suggested, because once he heard that, he was willing to accept the lesser amount, but he couldn't speak because he's in the middle of Kriyat Shema, and that's what it means, because that's he convinced himself. So that's a whole other level of a Yirei Shemayim like Rav Safra, that Gamar Bilibo actually does finalize a sale in Bilev. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now, Hasiton, what's a Siton before you go ahead? The Mishnah tells, the Rashbam and the Mishnah tells us, Siton is a Huchenvani Gadol, a large wholesaler, let's say, Shekona Harba Yachli, they buy a lot of items, a lot of produce. Umocher Lechenvam Ketan, they sell to all the small little retail stores in the area. So Hasiton, says Rashi, the Mishnah, Hasiton mekaneach midos of echad l'shloshim yom. Every 30 days they need to clean out their measuring cups and their scales to make sure there's nothing extra there, and it weighs it down. U'bal habayis echad l'shnei masar chodesh. But a bal habayis who doesn't use them so frequently, so it's not going to get saturated with any fruit or liquid, they only need to clean their measurements once every 12 months. Makes sense, right? But then the Mishnah says, Rashbag, or Mishnah Gamliel argues and says, Omer the Chiluf HaDavarim, it's the opposite, that's true. Because the wholesaler is using it so frequently, it doesn't give any time for any liquids to saturate, to settle in there. It's this constant movement, so nothing ever settles and crusts on the inside. So therefore, only every once every 12 months. But Babayis, who every so often use it, so he has used it, let's say, last week. So whoever used last time might settle there, might crust, might get in saturated in the scale. So he would have to change it more frequently, test it out every 30 days. That's Machlokas Tanakama. Does the Chenvani have to do it more frequently, or does the Babayis have to clean their midos more frequently? So the Mishnah says, a Chenvani, a store owner, in a small store, Mekanech midos of Pamim b'Shabbos, he has to change it twice every week. So the Rashbam quotes Machlokas, which opinion is this going in? Look at the Rashbam. Chenvani mikanech pa'amayim b'Shabbos. He needs to check it, clean it twice a week. The Fisha Tadir Limchor Yosef Misiton. He actually sells more frequently than the wholesalers. Every single day people are coming to his store, so he's changing it very often. U'bal bayis, he changes it more than the Siton, more than Baal bayis. V'asin l'tanakama, kach pirshu Rabbeinu Sinan. That's according to Tanakama, that holds whoever uses it more often needs to check it most often. So Baal bayis, a regular homeowner who sells out of his house once in a while, he uses it less frequently, so he has to check it less frequently. The Siton checks it, uses it more, he checks it even more frequently than that. And then the Chenvani uses it the most, he needs to check it twice a week. That's all according to the Tanakhama. That's how the Rashbam learned from his Rebbeim. But then Rashbam argues, he quotes based on the Gemara, he argues, but just jump down two lines down in the Rashbam. He says, Ela Nira, five words from the beginning of the line, De'afilu Rashbag Mod Bechanvani. In this case, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will agree that a chanvani should check twice a week. Why? The Afa Pishemocher Tadi, even though he sells it so frequently, so you would think, according to Rashbag's logic, he should have to check it even less than once every year. Kevan Shein Nechayv La'ativ Gimel Tipin Nikrash Besocha Yosef. We said yesterday, since the chanvani is so busy, he doesn't have time to squeeze out every last drip of the bottle of the can. So therefore, over time, it builds up, it saturates the kalim, and that's why the chenvani has to clean it out twice a week, because again, the drips are not really his. He should really squeeze it out, because he doesn't have time to squeeze out for every single customer. He's parted from that, but then at the same time, he has to clean it out twice a week. Mishnah now tells us, HaMumacha, Mashalosa Pamachas B'Shabbos. A person should be Mamacha. What does that mean? Rashbam says, Mikanech, a person should clean out his mashkalos, which is not referring to scales, where you weigh the food on, rather, Avni Mishkal, Shishokal Behem Davar Lachu Basar. The weights have to be measured out and cleaned out, nothing sticking to the weights. Pamachas B'Shabbos, again, once a week. And then it's Mikanech Maznaim, I'll call Mishkal Mishkal, and Yos has to, each time he weighs something, he needs to clean the scale as well. Rashbam says, I'll call Mishkal Mishkal, Bechol Pam Upam, Sheshokel Behem, Neshenidbak Behem, Yosem Na Mishkalos, Lefisha Yeshla Beis HaKibol, Tzarech Lekantosam Bechol Pam Pam. So beforehand, the Mishnah is referring to the measuring cups, now referring to the scales. So the scales, the weights have to be checked once a week, and the actual scale, each time you weigh it on the scale, you need to clean up, because since it's a base keyboard, a little cup to hold something, something might get stuck in a corner, you have to make sure to clean it between each measure. Comes along, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, B'med Rabbi Mum, when is it true? Belach, when there's something that's liquid, that's likely some drops will stay. But something that's dry, it's not going to remain in the scale, and therefore you don't have to check it so frequently, or at all, perhaps. V'chayv, that's a new din in the Mishnah, all related to scales and weights. So Mishnah says, V'chayv l'achrielo tefach. A person has to now tilt it in favor of the purchaser, the consumer. What's the case here? Rashbam says, V'chayv l'achrielo ha-maznayim, the scales need to be tilted, mitzad ha-basar, toward the side of the meat, one tefach down, she-basar shakar yosef, so the meat weighs more. What means is it's going to be in favor of the buyer, because if I tilt, after I weigh it, so now I tilt the scale a little bit this way, it's going to be more meat here, but then I need to balance out this way a little bit. So ends up paying, he's getting more, paying less, I guess. I don't know how exactly it works out. We're going to add some more, even after he gets a price, after he has the price, then we're going to give him a couple extra piece of meat without having to pay for it, I guess. That's what the case is. It's after we made the initial weight. Yeah. We add some extra on that side till it drops the tefach. Fine. So again, chayv l'achriya lo tefach. Now, hayah shokel lo ayin ba'ayin. Let's say you're in a place. Now, Rashbam points out, based on the Gemara's, that's true if there's such a minog in that area. That's how they did a thing. That's how they weighed things out. You need to keep to such a minog. But if you're in a location, let's say where it's shokel lo ayin ba'ayin, where you did everything exact, you do the exact weight for the exact meat. So then, after making that that measure, then nosin lo gerumim echad asar balach vecha la'esim biyavish. So then you have to go tefach, but you do have to give 1/10 of the liquid measurement additional to what he's paying for, and 1/20 biyavish if it's a dry item that he's buying. And the Gemara is going to clarify what exactly this measurement is, but right now it seems if he's buying 10 grapes, so you give him, we're not really doing quantity, we're doing weight, but let's say he's buying 10 pounds of meat, so you give him an extra pound of meat. It will actually really be 1/20. If you have a half a pound of meat, you add to him. If you're measuring liquid, grape juice, 10 pounds of grape juice, so you'll give him then an extra pound of grape juice. That's the measurements according to the Mishnah, either 1/10 extra for davar lach or 1/20 extra for davar yavesh in a place where you weigh exactly ayin ba'ayin. Malkum shenagu lamud bedaka lo yamud begasa, in a place where they use small measurements, so you're not allowed to use big measurements. So let's say you're going for, they measure one tablespoon at a time. You know, you're getting 50 tablespoons. You can't then use large cups to substitute for the tablespoons. You have to do whatever practice they have in using small measurements. And the same is true, the opposite case. Begasal yom bedak, if you, a place you're buying one cup, so you can't, you end up using 50 tablespoons in place of one large cup. Bedaka limchok lo yigdosh ligdosh lo yimchok. If it's a place where they would measure by evening off the top of the measurement, so you can't now make a heaping mound on top of that measurement. And if it's a place where ligdosh, where they put a heaping mound on it, they can't lo yimchok. They can't even out. You have to be consistent in the way the minog of the makom is in terms of doing the measurements. So the Gemara wants to know, minahani mila. How do I know these words to be true? So Rashbam explains what the Havamina here is. Around halfway down the narrow lines, Rashbam says, Minahani Mile, how do I know? Kasaka Daitach, the Havamina is, Dibai Ahai the Tsarach Lachriya Tefach. The initial thought here is they're trying to figure out the source that when you weigh the meat, that you're supposed to, after weighing it, you add an extra tefach of meat onto one side. What's the source? What's the basis? So Amar Ish Lakish comes along with Ish Lakish and says, Amar Damarqa, the Pasuk tells us that Evan Shlema Vitzedek. Evan Shlema, by the way, the Gra says is a remez to his own name. Evan Shlema stands for Eliyahu ben Shlomo. That's the Gra's name. He thought this was a remez, a hint to his particular name. So Evan Shlema Vitzedek, a person has to have complete rocks. You can't have fake weights and heavier or lighter weights in your possession. They have to be true weights. Vitzedek, and that will be Tzidkus. That's going to be the right thing to do. So they make a drasha. What's the need for Tzedek? Tzedek Mil shelcha v'tein lo. You should give some tzidkut, some tzedek, something extra from yourself and give over. So that's the source that you're supposed to add a tefach to the guy's weight. So Gemara says, Yihach, if that's the case, same as seifa. What about the seifa of the Mishnah? That says, Haya shokyalo ein mine. If you're weighing everything to be exact, so nosin lo gerumav. So after you weigh everything, you're supposed to add on top a little bit, 1/10 or 1/20. Now, vihachra deraisa, heichayav lei ayin ayin. If it's a din deraisa that you're supposed to weigh everything, you're really supposed to tip everything, so how could you have some places that actually do ayin ayin? It's a din deraisa that you're supposed to weigh it, a tefach in favor of the buyer. So clearly, this cannot be a source deraisa of the din of being machmir tefach, cannot be based on the Torah. Se'ela, reisha. So really, the question of minahani mila is going on the reisha, which is b'makom. Rather, the Mishnah tells us reisha is b'makom shenagu. The reisha is a place where they have such a custom of tipping the scale one tefach. That was their minog, so we keep to that minog. It's not a din deraisa. But v'chiyit ma reish lakish, when reish lakish said a source of evan shleim of etzedek tzadik mishal chavatein lo, that drasha, that's going a seifa itmar, which is what. If it's in a place hayashoka lo ayin ba'ayin, if you're in a place where they weigh everything exactly, the weights to the meat, so then after you weigh everything out, the nosin lo gerumim, you give them some extra after the fact, to add a couple more pieces of meat there. So minahani mila, how do I know it's such an inyan that exists, such a concept? Amrish lakish damakra v'tzedek tzadek mishalcha v'tein lo. You're supposed to do a little extra after you weigh them, give them a price, throw a few extra ounces of meat in there as well. The kama gerum, how much is gerum? How much extra do you give in? So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel Amar Rav Echan Me'asar Belitra Belach Lasar Litrin. You give 1/10 of a litra for every 10 litrin, which ends up being 1/10 of 10, which ends up being 100. You give 1%, you add on 1% of the value that he's buying, the weight that he's buying. That's how much meat or whatever produce he's buying. That's how much you add on 1/100. Fine. So the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah said there are two different shirum. There's the 1/10, which we really now know is 1/100 for davar lach. But then the Mishnah said there's 1/20 echad le'esrim for davar yavish. So the Gemara is trying to figure out an ambiguity from the Mishnah. Ibay lehu heichi kamar. What does the Mishnah mean when it says there's 1/10, 1/20? Echad mi'asara belach lasara delach. Is it 1/10 of 10 of davar lach, which is 1/100? And ve'echad me'esim b'yavish le'esim b'yavish. Now is it 1/20 of 20 of yavish, which would be 1/400? Is that how you read the Mishnah by davar yavish? Oh, Dilmer, perhaps you say echad me'asar le'asar of delach u'lesim b'yavish teiku yavish. Or do you say 1/10 of 10 of davar lach, or 1/20 of 10 of yavish? Really, I say 1/10 of 10 lach, or 1/10 of 20 of davar yavish, which would end up being 1/200th of davar yavish. I mean, we're not sure when the 20 on davar yavish, is that 20 of 20 or is it 20 of 10? Is it 1/200th or is it 1/400th? That's the suffix by the davar yavish. And the Gemara concludes as a taker, they're not really sure what the Mishnah meant by this. Okay, the Gemara now tells us, Amar Bilevi, Kasha, Onshan Shamidos, Yosemi, Onshan Sharayos. The punishment one gets for mishandling measurements and weights is worse than the punishment for arayos. Shezen emar ben kale. The zen amar maybe ale really should be the zen amar behind ela. So what does it mean, ale versus ela? My mashu the high ale kasha. How do you know the word ale in the context is stronger? Dichsiva ves ayali haaretz lakach. The strong ones took. So ale means strong. So gavei rayos nami dichsiva eha ela. It says ela by rayos. There's no difference. So the Gemara says, so this seems to be, it's a difference here. It sounds from the Gemara that the word ale is stronger than the word ela. You need to look where the psukim are quoted from. But look what the Rashbam says. Rashbam says, halfway down the Y lines, ela kashem ale. He says the word ela is more severe than the word ale. Because the mishim hachi hosif hakasav behen hey, the rabos lahagdila kisha. The reason why there's an added hey to strengthen and to intensify the severity of the Avera. So Rashi quotes a different psukim here.
It could be that the Gemara was saying my mash mitahay el kasha hu didn't mean kasha hu me'ela. In general, how do you see that?
That word means severe, and then after you have that ayela means strong, ela is more severe than the word ale. Okay, could be. That makes sense, actually. So Rashbam quotes a psukim here. So then the Gemara says, so that's not true. It says Eila by Arayos as well. Gavei Arayos nami ksiv Eila. So they're equally as severe. So the Gemara says, Ahu lemute midos mekaris. When it says Eila, the context is very important. The context of Eila by Arayos, it says, Kol asher yasa mikol ha-toivos ha-elu v'nichasu. These get karis. It's not teaching us the severity of Arayos. It's teaching us that only Eila, only Arayos get karis, to the exclusion of midos that don't get karis. That elu, says the Gemara again, elu halumute midos mekaris, that midos don't get karis. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. So if midos don't get karis, elamai adifayu. So why are midos more severe than arayos? In the end of the day, if arayos are getting karis and midos aren't getting karis, isn't that a clear indicator that arayos are more severe than midos? Ah, so midos is elu. And arayos only says el, but in the end of the day, the whole drasha was about which onshin was more kasha. So clearly the onshin of arayos of karis is more severe than the onish of midos. Rashi says the reason why the onish of arayos are more severe is because hasam ef shebetshuva hachal ef shebetshuva. When it comes to the world of midos, you can't do tshuva. The world of arayos, one is allowed to do tshuva. So look at Rashbam for some explanation here. Rashbam says, you look at seven lines up, ef she lahab betshuva. He says, Arayos Mo'elis B'tshuva. A person, when he's involved in the Arayos, he's able to do tshuva. Yaver le'tshuva mal yasa. If he does a proper tshuva, k'dichsev tshuva banim shovim arpe mutshuva seichem. A person will be granted tshuva from Arayos. V'armin and the Nami, the Gemara of Makos tells us, kol chayave krisos shalaku niftaru midei krisosam. The person who does something that's chayav karis, if he gets Malkos, those Malkos are going to exonerate him from karis. Avamidos, when a person steals by having fake measurements, she goes as a rabbi, he steals from the public. Ef shelo b'tshuva, he can't do tshuva. Sharei tshuvaso tluya b'ashavas hagzeila. The only way he gets full tshuva is if he returns back the money to everybody he stole from, as it says, v'heishivas hagzeila. V'hu eini yodea lemiyachsi, he doesn't know who he stole from to return the money to, therefore he's stuck not being ever granted tshuva. So you're right, the initial aveira, the initial onesh of arayos is more severe in that it's karis and midos isn't karis, but in terms of the opportunity for tshuva, it turns out that midos are more severe than that of the arayos. Now look at Tosis for a second. Dibur Maschal Hasam Ef Shebet Tshuva. He writes that Madafka arayos on she'ein behen mamzeres. It's only true if the arayos never produced a mamzer. That's when the arayos have an opportunity for tshuva. Aval. Habal Aishas Ish Veholid Menu Ben Oshar Arayos Sheish Ben Mamzerus Zeh Muvas Lo Yuchal Litakein. The Gemara tells in many places, if a person does have a Mamzer, that's too late. You can't fix it. It's done. There's no tshuva on that anymore. He already created something, and therefore that's a case where Arayos would be more severe, or at least severe, as Midos. Now the Gemara Tosef rather quotes Reb Chaim, who argues Omer Afagav Shuvim Ovas Lo Yichal Litakein Mikol Malkum Ef Shebetshuva. He argues even though you're right, the child can't be fixed; he's a mamzer forever. You still can do tshuva. Shetziva Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Delo Tava El Lasas Lo Tshuva. Do it. You can, whatever's in your hand to do. Do tshuva and do tshuva from yourself. And even though there's a child that's a mamzer, you still get tshuva even when there's a mamzer. So that's a very, very important machlokas. When a rayos produces a mamzer, is there an opportunity for full tshuva gemura or not? Gemara now says the last eight lines of the Amud here. Amar Rabbi Levi, Kasha Gezel Hedyot Yosem Gezel Gavo. It's worse stealing from a regular person than it is stealing from Hektish. Why? Shezeh Hiktim Chet Lamila, Vzeh Hiktim Mila Chet. If you look at the Psukim, so it mentions the word Chet prior to the word Mi'ila with regards to Hedyot, which is indicating that Chet is stronger. But with regard to Mi'ila, stealing from Hektish, it says the word Mi'ila before the word Chet. Telling us that Chet is an afterthought. And the Rashbam quotes the two relevant Psukim. Another statement in the name of Rabbi Levi, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Levi, Bo re'ei shelo kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very different than humans. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu baruch yisrael be'esem v'shaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us with 22 brachas, v'kolam b'shmona, and he gave us a curse with only 8 brachas. How do we see this? Baruch and be'esem v'shaim, where were the 22 brachas? It says, Me'im b'chukosai, if you listen to me, akomios. So those are 22 brachas we count in b'chukosai, the beginning of b'chukosai. But Kala Mishmona, he only gave us 8 curses, as it says, Me'im b'chukosai timasu, ad v'chukosai gala nafsham. Those are only 8. So 22 to 8 in our favor. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives us so much bracha. However, when it comes to Ilu Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch and Mishmona, he only gave us a bracha of 8. The ratio is completely flipped around now, and he called in Me'esem Mishayim, he gave us 22 curses. Birchan Bishmona, how do we see that there are 8 brachas? As it says, Mevaya im Shemo Tishma. If you listen, this is in Parshas Kisavo. V'hayam Shemo Tishma, V'ala Avdam, those are a total of 8 brachas only. But the Kalam, the rest of the Tocha there in Parshas Kisavo, Be'es Mishayim, there were a total of 22 curses. Mevaya im Lo Tishma. If you don't listen, Ad Vein Kon, until the end, those are a total of 22. So we see Kadosh Baruch Hu is much more giving than Basar V'dam. Look at a very interesting tosis in the bottom of Peches, Mabez, Vakalim, Besim, Vashayim. There's a parallel tosis in Megillah, one of the last tosis in there as well, in terms of the Seder Parshios and the Tocha and before Shoshana. The tosis writes here, Vakalim, Besim, Vashayim. Mivaya im lo tishmo, mikan, ein nir lari, perish Rav Nisim Gon. Rav Nisim Gon had a certain pshat, which the Ri didn't like, based on the Gemara here. What was Rav Nisim Gon's pshat? The Pirush explained, sometimes, when there are 2 Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, when the calendar works out that way, they take Nitzavim and Vayelech and separate them in 2 Parshas. Now, that wouldn't make sense. They're so small. Wouldn't it be easier for the Tzibur to put them together and separate a much larger 2 Parshas, the Matos Maaseh, let's say? Why would you separate Nitzavim and Vayelech from each other? So, Rav Nisim Gon explained here, even though they're very small, and we put Matos Maaseh, which are both very long, together, Shigdolos Yoser. The explanation is, that we want to get rid of all the different curses before Rosh Hashanah. Sheish klalos ba'atem nitzavim, ve'inanu rotzim sheichansu tochal shel shana she'avra b'shana haba. So nitzavim has some klalos in them. Now, if we were to separate Matos Maaseh, then Nitzavim would be pushed to after Rosh Hashanah to combine with Vayelech. And that means the klalos of Nitzavim are going to be read after Rosh Hashanah, but we want the klalos to be done with before Rosh Hashanah. So we'd rather put together Matos and Maaseh together in order to have Nitzavim read prior to Rosh Hashanah. So he says, so we see from here that Nitzavim is considered klalos. So we see from the Gemara now, he proves otherwise. The Ri says, no, can't be. The ha hacha here in the Gemara is mashma to lo kari klalos ella b'vim dechukosai uvhaya kisavo. The only klalos we have, there are only 2 tochas. There's parshas b'chukosai and there's parshas kisavo. Those are the only 2 klalos. We don't acknowledge the tocha or any klalos that appear anywhere else, not even in Nitzavim. The kamar v'im lo tishmu ad v'ein nekona. V'amisham v'eilech lo chashi b'klalos. Anything after that, anything beyond that, is not considered klalos. So that's the explanation of, that's the rejection of the Rav Nisim Gon. The question becomes, so then why, according to the Ri, do we separate Nitzavim v'eilech then? It would make more sense to put them together and separate Matos and Maaseh. So the Ri explains, aval nir l'ri, the Ri says, v'lahachi anu korn liolam atem Nitzavim lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Why do we always read Nitzavim the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah? Kedei lahafsik beparsha ben klalos d'shana shavra d'vaya kisavo l'shana haba. We want that to be a buffer. The reason why Nitzavim is read before Rosh Hashanah is not because of klalos in Nitzavim. We want there to be a Shabbos of separation between the toch of kisavo to Rosh Hashanah. And Nitzavim uses a very nice buffer, very plain parsha to separate between kisavo and Rosh Hashanah. L'chach nami, that's also the explanation of why the Olam Anu Korim, we always read Bamidbar lifneat Tzeres. The Shabbos before Shavuos is always parshas Bamidbar. Why? Kedei lahafsik b'bein klalos dim b'chukosai la Tzeres, shura shana l'peres. We want to have there to be a buffer as well. We read b'chukosai always before Shavuos. So we want there to be a Shabbos buffer between, so we read parshas Bamidbar, not because Bamidbar has any klalos, because Bamidbar serves as a buffer, just as Nitzavim serves as a buffer as well. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Welcome back, everybody.